We're going to jump into this. As we continue on, we're doing a series called The Bridge, and it's kind of about just relationships, because a bridge is to get you from one point to another. And the illustration I've been using, even though it has nothing to do with a bridge, I kind of use the illustration of the Stillwater Bridge, but I've been talking about the Israelites coming out of slavery and how Moses brought the Israelites out. And the thing I talked about the first week was, even though they were no longer slaves, these people marched in the desert for 40 years, they wandered in the desert because they couldn't get the slave mentality out of their heads and their hearts. Even though they were no longer slaves, they still lived in that mentality. And so what's interesting is, you, one of the things I shared a few months ago was just the Lazarus story. You guys remember the Lazarus story? That even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, he still had the dead clothes on. Like they said, Jesus even said, remove the dead clothes. Remove those things because you're now alive. Remove those things. But I think what happens, and then God, because Moses couldn't bring the Israelites through because they couldn't figure it out, here's the irony. They were given the promised land, but they never entered it because they couldn't figure it out. They were given the promises, they had it. They just had to keep on going, but they keep on wandering. So Moses, in that generation, died off, and God raised up a youth pastor named Joshua, and Joshua began this journey, and he led the Israelites into the promised land. What I've been saying every week is this: there is people who talk about the promised land, and there's people who live in the promised land. Big difference. And I'm telling you, as Watermark, as a church, and as a believer, I don't want to be a person who just talks about the good things of the Lord. I want to be a person who walks in the good things. Amen? And so Joshua led these Israelites who were once slaves, who were once sons and daughters of slaves, into the promised land. He had to cross the Jordan River. And I shared the priests and the ark had to go first, and then the water stopped, and they had to let everybody go through. So as they enter in, so here's where we come today. As they enter in the promised land, what God has given them, here's what they realize. They're not alone. This is irony. Because even though this is the promises, they realize in the midst of the promises, there are some problems. Because the enemy has come into the promised land and has tried to make it its home, and they were never called to be there. So now God is telling Joshua and his people, saying, you got to get rid of these people because there's enemy in your promised land. You got to take them out because this is yours and not theirs. Isn't this crazy? So even though God says this is your promised land, he says you still got to do some work and you still got to fight for it. So that's when Jericho happens, and that's when they go into battles, and that's when these things happen. So here's where we take it up. Joshua 13, it's going to be, if it's in your notes, and just if you have your Bible, you can open it up. If you don't own the Bible, we have free Bibles for you in the back. We'd love to give them to you today. But Joshua says this, Joshua 13, 1 through 2 says, when Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, you are now very old. Isn't that funny? Can you imagine? We should just stop there for today. Imagine saying, God, show me what you want me to do. And you guys just saying, you're old. That's awesome. But what I love about that is I don't think it was more for Joshua, it was more for us to hear. Listen, he's speaking to Joshua still, and it doesn't matter how old he was. Listen, if you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. And so he's still speaking to Joshua, and he says, you are old, and there is still very large areas of land to take, need to be taken over. He's literally saying, your job is not done yet. There's still work to do. Even though you're in the promised land, there's still work to do. He's literally saying, it's not just the younger generations, it's all generations. It's your job to take care of business in the land that I have given you. This is the land that remains. And he said, this is it. You're not done yet. People have this mentality like, I've arrived. I've met the Lord. I've come to church. I have arrived. Can I tell you? It's a race. It's like you hear that gun. It's not a finish line. It's a starting point. God is saying there's work to be done. It's a race. Not saying you're going to beat somebody else to it, but just saying some of you might beat somebody else to the finish line. But we're just saying we're in a race and we continue. And so there's still work to do. The enemies in the land, Jericho's still there. There's enemy there. Even though they crossed the Jordan and entered the promised land, they still had to fight for what they have. We tell us in pre-marriage counseling all the time. People have this mentality like, once I get married, it's all going to be working just perfectly. Really? Dude, we got to change some marriage expectations. It takes work. Amen. Relationships take work. It takes work. You just don't arrive in a land and say it's all going to be perfect. There is stuff to do once you get there. Even though it was God's promises, here's the other promise the Lord said. If you go in righteousness, if you follow me, I'll help you defeat your enemies. It wasn't just going into the land and saying, God's saying it's yours. We're not spoiled. God says you're going to have to work for it. It's not just that we made it. So once, and this was cool about it. I believe this. We have got to, every single person in here, you have got to own your zone. If you're taking notes, write that down. I want this ingrained in everybody's head. Own your zone. Anybody sports people in here, raise your hand. For everybody else, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson right now. So here's how it works. Can you put that picture on the screen of the zone? Here's the zone defense. So here's how it looks. Every sports team has a zone. And so I'm just telling you, if you don't know much about football or basketball, and when they say, oh, they're in zone defense, you're going to feel smarter because of this. This is the quarterback. This is football. Quarterback, center, offensive line, receivers, and then tackles, all this stuff. You see this up here? Here's what this means. This person right here is not playing man-on-man. He's playing zone, which means this. He's in charge of this territory. So if any receiver or running back comes in that way, guess who's in charge of it? This guy. If something happens over here, guess who gets blamed? This guy. Is that making sense? These are all zones. So you can either play man-on-man, which means, for instance, when I'm telling you, if you've never had kids, when you have one kid, it's really crazy. I mean, it's crazy having a kid. When you have two, so it seems a little bit easier. When you have three, wow. Here's the reason why. Because when we had two kids, when we had Sawyer and Charlie, we were playing man-on-man. When we went to three, it was zone. Literally, like you over here, Warlands, you're playing zone all the time. Is this true? Like you are playing zone spread offense everywhere. And so what happens is you are literally, you're in charge of this area, you're in charge of this area, not man on man. You don't let anything happen over here because it's going to go crazy. And so what's interesting is when you own your zone, that is your sphere that you're in charge of. Now, let me tell you this. Everybody, let me put this in this practical point. Everybody here has their own zone. So when you have your own zone. It depends. Some people, your zone depends on your season. You might be in college. You might be in school. You might have different neighbors. You might be in transition and all this kind of stuff. But your zone really is this, your sphere of influence. And when God says, you're going to go change the world, he's not saying you're going to go change every continent in the world. What he is saying is you're going to be an influence in your world, in your zone, in your sphere of influence. Is that making sense? This is your world. For instance, Charles does jewelry business, right? I don't do that. I probably can't reach the people that Charles does in the way that he can because I don't know anything about jewelry and I don't go in those stores. True? And so it's interesting that I'm not a mechanic. I don't go where Ken goes. I mean, I need to. My van needs to be fixed, but I don't do it because that's not my zone. You were created to have your zone that God has created you in. And here's, can I just tell you this? So many people are so focused on, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to overseas? Do you want me to go to this? Can I just tell you? I think God more cares not the new zone that you need to go to, but what you're doing in your current zone. Hear me out? Because if we spend enough time trying to do our best with our current zone, God will open up, even increase our zone for more. He will increase our influence. Isn't that the Jabez prayer? That says, God, enlarge my territory, which literally means, Lord, enlarge my sphere of influence to your name so I can lift your name up in bigger and greater ways. Listen, when we give to missions, we are increasing our zone as a church. We started a church in El Salvador two and a half years ago. Our zone is bigger now because it's in El Salvador. We're doing this Operation Hub. Our zone becomes bigger. God is entrusting us with more because, so your zone, listen, you have your family zone, you have your friend zone, you have your work zone, you have your neighbor, your home zone, and you have your ministry, your church zone. Let me just tell you this. Your work zone is interesting because this is, you gotta own the place that you work. That means you don't walk as the boss, but you walk in the authority of the Lord. I'm telling you, if you walk in the room and people are already going, oh, here she comes. This is gonna be a bad day. See how her mood is. Dude, you are not owning your zone. How can you influence that better to make it to what God has called you to be in all these areas? It's interesting because when you think about it, here's what it comes down to. God has entrusted to you. Everybody say this word, entrusted. One, two, three. That means he trusts you. He has given it to you. Your sphere of influence, he trusts you with it to make an influence and a difference with it. He has entrusted you. He has given it to you. He has given your family, your finances, your church, your work, your neighborhood. He has influenced it. He said, this is yours. So he says, your dreams are your zone. Your heart is your zone. These things, your zone is what God has entrusted to you. So here's my question. If you don't own your zone, who will? If you don't own your zone where God has placed you, who will? God, if God has placed you in your work, in your neighborhood, if you don't own it, who will own it? If you don't take care of your zone, who will? For instance, in your zone, as Christians, here's what we need to do. One of my favorite things this past week was, I was exhausted. I'm telling you, I was exhausted. It was about 4:30. We just took down some walls. A few of us were busy. And all of a sudden, where's Sherry at? She's not going to want me to point her out, but is she in here? Sherry? She's here. I know. She just wants me to point her out. Sherry comes in, and she goes, I said, what are you doing here? It's like 4:30. She's like, I'm just going to come pull the weeds. I said, what do you mean? She's like, oh, this, you know, these flowers are pretty. We're just going to pull the weeds. So she was there for hours just pulling weeds. I said, in a construction zone, she was pulling weeds because she wanted to make it pretty on the outside. Can I just tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know what as Christians we need to do? We need to pull some weeds in our zone because all of our zones are in construction zones. Listen, you are not a completed work. You are work in process. Amen. And all the wives hit their husbands and say, for sure you, right? You're a work in process. And what's interesting about it, you are literally, one of the jobs is to pull weeds. And you're saying, what does that mean? Listen, if you are the influence in your zone and you're letting weeds grow, that means you are allowing the weeds to take on the resources that God is trying to plant, but the weeds are sucking it dry. And some of you, listen, you need to start pulling some weeds out of your life so your zone of influence become better and greater. You might be thinking, what's some weeds in my life? I can tell you this, you know more than I do, but I'm going to give you some examples. No such thing as little weeds, because little weeds spread. Some weeds we create. Some weeds we choose to be there. Think about this. You choose to prioritize your work over your kids. You choose to prioritize, listen to this, your kids over your spouse. Weed. You choose to cheat on your taxes. Weed. You choose to hide your credit card from your spouse. Weed. You choose to reply to the invitation on social media from a friend you should not be talking to from years ago. Weed. You choose to text her back. Weed. You choose to grab coffee with him after work. Weed. You choose to lie. You choose to be with irresponsible people. These are weeds that we need to continue to keep on pulling. Own your zone and start pulling your weeds. True? We need to own up and start pulling the weeds and allow others to pull the weeds. And here's what I'm telling you, you need to also have grace. You need to have grace and love, and we just need to move forward. Sometimes in the midst of our pain and our hurt, we actually build fences around our zone to protect us. Where the Lord wants to enlarge us, we want to keep it small because we're scared to enlarge it. And God says, because of your fear, because of your little mindset, because of unforgiveness, and because of hurt, we enclose our zones where God wants to enlarge our zones. And I think we got to own what God has given us. So down the road, here's the scary part. I'm just saying, as the pastor, listen. To whom much is given, much is required. And people ask me all the time, like, is there anything that really makes you scared and nervous? Not scared and nervous, but there's something in the back of my head always there. And if you're Pastor Hill, you could probably agree with me. Pastor, you know what I'm saying? Drake, you could probably agree with me. And when you're there, here's what happens. When God has given you influence, you will be judged at the end of it all on the zone that you've been given to use for the kingdom of God. I will be judged as a pastor, but as a father. I'll be judged on my zone. People say, well, that's not very happy. It's truth. And the truth about it is, this makes me want to say, God, what are you asking me to do? Not that I don't want more influence, but I want to use what you've given me so I can bless you with it, so I can add value to it, so I can make this better, so I can be in your zone. It's interesting because if God is asking you to step up, or is God asking you to use somebody else, I think what's interesting about it is every time God asks us to step up in our zone, we're always wondering, what, couldn't somebody else just step up? Couldn't somebody else just do it? And God is saying, it's in your zone. It's not another person's job. You've been entrusted with him. So why are you praying for a miracle that God has already asked you to be a miracle for? Own what you've got. I mentioned this a few months ago. I think it's really amazing because I think in our Christian faith, here's what it comes down to. I think in your journey with the Lord, wherever you are, I think everybody has to make a decision. Here's the decision. Even if you're raised in a church like I was, some of you have been raised and going to church your entire life, some of you just started, but here's what you got to figure out. At some point in your life, you got to go from renting your faith with the Lord to owning your faith with the Lord. Renting it, dude, you can maybe get out of your lease. It's not your property. If something goes wrong, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just, whatever with it, you can kind of, it's not your property. When you own something, listen, you're invested into it. That means you went all in on this thing. That means this is yours. You got to keep up with it. And in our spiritual lives, listen, in our spiritual lives, we have to own our zone, and we got to own our own relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ does not based on anybody else. It's based upon you and Jesus Christ. It's not based upon your wife's relationship with Jesus Christ or your father's relationship. That's renting your faith. It's based upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. What's interesting about it is when I look at this and I'm just saying, what's your zone? I think about this. Even our church, This is why we need volunteers. This is why I want people to jump in, because when you go from just a participant coming on Sunday morning to a person who's volunteering and actively involved, you go from renting your church to being owners of your church. When you start giving, like to this project, you go from maybe you never gave before and today you started giving for the first time. You go from just renting to owning a piece. And today you get to walk around with a piece of the land. What's interesting about it is saying, we just want God, we just want, in my own heart, I'd say, God, increase the zone. Increase Watermark's sphere of influence in this community. Here's my promise for you. Do you know how you change a community? Here's how it works. If my sphere of influence grows, and the Gainer's sphere of influence grows, and the Petherbridge's sphere of influence grows, I'm telling you. And then you got the Williamson, their sphere of influence grows. When all of our spheres of influence grows, we grow. Because this is what happens. Our zone becomes bigger because we're reaching more people. It says this in Numbers 32, it says this. I love this. In Numbers 32, verse 11 through 12, says, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, the slaves, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land in which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed me. Just literally saying, are you truly following the Lord? Have you truly surrendered? Because even though the promise was there, it's only Joshua's generation that stepped into the promises. So here's my thing for you, enter the land. Don't just wander your zone. Two big choices today in your life. You can be like the Israelites who came out of Egypt, and God said, this is your zone. Your promised land's up there. Here's the problem. They made their zone the desert for 40 years, and all they did is wandered in their zone going, I hope something works out. Where Joshua said, I'm not doing this. If we're going to go, we're going to go forward into what God has already promised us to have. And he says, well, we're not going to wander anymore. We're going to follow the Lord into this area. And I'm telling you, that's a decision that they had to make, saying, we're not going to just be wanderers. We're going to step into it. So I'm just telling you, as people, don't just survive. We need to thrive. Don't just survive. We need to thrive in this. If I can get the worship team up here. I love this. In Deuteronomy 31:3 says this, and I just, if you're taking notes, write this because this is awesome. Deuteronomy 31:3 says, the Lord your God himself will cross. You see that? Will cross over ahead of you. Just picture that. Like the whole Joshua scene. The priest will go over ahead, and this is what he's saying here. He's saying, no longer is the priest going to go ahead, but he says, your God will go ahead of you. And he says, your God will go ahead of you, go into the promise. And he says, he will destroy these nations before you. The enemies that are in the land, he will destroy the nations, and you will take possession of the land of their land. Joshua will also cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. Here's what's cool. If you believe that God is everywhere all the time, then you have to believe that God is already in the promised land. It's just saying, we got to go this way. There is more over here. And I go back to the illustration where a lot of Christians stand on the river's edge, and here's the decision. You just stand there and you say, I know my zone is over here. I know the best is over here. I know God's promises are over here. And you know what's over here? Your potential. Your potential is over there, not back here. Your best is over there, not behind you, because the best is yet to come over here. And some of us are just put our feet in and go, oh, it's a little cold. I don't want to go all in yet. Now listen, when Moses crossed part of the Red Sea, he didn't have any get wet. He just put his staff up and the Red Sea parted. But when Joshua's generation came, he says, listen, I'm not going to do all the work for you. You got to get your feet wet first. the river was at flood stage. Here's what it means. Before the priests went in with the Ark of the Covenant, they had a decision to make. Either we're going to be over our heads, literally, in water and be washed away, or a miracle is going to happen. And because they stepped out, parents, adults, everybody of influence, which is everybody in this room, everybody has their own, listen up. Because they stepped out and sat in the middle of the river, they allowed a whole generation of people to cross to the other side to be part of the promises. Are we allowing our kids, listen, are we allowing our kids and our family? Are we stepping out in the things of the Lord? Are we stepping on these things? Are we pulling the weeds? And are we stepping out and allowing the way, stepping into the miracles so people can get from this side to the other side? I believe everybody in this room has a zone, and they have to own it, and it has to be yours, that God has given to you. Listen, if you don't think you have one, you have one. You just don't know how to use it yet. God has put everybody in this room, and here's what I'm telling you. You want to know the biggest enemy of the devil on your life right now is to make you feel like a failure, that you're no good, that you're dumb, that you're stupid, that you're lonely, that you can't do it, that you messed up too many times, you've been in treatment, you're on medication, you're sick. Listen, that's not the promises of the Lord. That's the devil speaking lies in your ear, saying, I don't want you to own this thing. Where God is saying, listen, you got more in you. There's more in you. I believe this is what the Lord wants me to tell you this morning. There is more in you than what's been done to you. There is more in you than what's been done to you. There is more in you than what's been done to you. Because you're not a failure. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You can step out in the fullness, and it's there. God already said the enemies are defeated. You just got to march in. You just got to march around Jericho. It's already done. Just walk in the victory. This is why we worship. This is why we pray, because we surrender and saying, God, I just need to follow you. I don't know what to do. Lord, I'll show you. But just stand up this morning. I get nervous as a pastor because I talk to people all the time who have weeds in their marriages and weeds in their zone and weeds in their kids. I'm like, dude, just pull up these weeds. All they do is spread. And God's not asking you to step out because you're not afraid. You step out in spite of fear. You step out not because you don't think you can do it. Listen, nobody thinks they can part the river. You don't step out, you step out because in spite of fear, you still step out because you don't trust in your steps, you trust in the Lord. And here it is. Your future is bigger than your past. And here's the other truth. Somebody in this room needs to hear this. You are not your past. You are not your past. You are not your mistakes. You are not your past. You are not your parents. You are not your grandparents. You are not what people think you are. You are a child of the Lord Almighty, and you need to own your zone because God has given you victory in your zone, and you need to walk in it, and you need to claim it, and you need to praise God for the victory. Is this how it works? What's amazing about it is this. All they had to do around Jericho was march. They didn't fight. They didn't hit the walls. God says, march around Jericho 7 times. This is what they did. They were silent. And then in the last march, they began to worship. And the walls began to come down. And people saying, what's that trickery? It's called worship. We just blew horns and we praised the Lord and the walls came down. I'm telling you, here's my promise. When you find the Lord, you will find victory. When you worship, you will find victory. Not in the midst of your problems, but in the midst of the Lord. Amen? Here's what we need to do. We need to worship this morning. Everybody can just bow your heads, close your eyes. Number one is this. If you're here this morning, and this is if you have never encountered the true Jesus, this is your, and you've never committed your life to the Lord, and, it's, and this may, you may have heard this, and you want to meet the Lord, and you want to surrender your heart to the Lord, if that's you, no one's looking around, I just want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'd love to pray with you. It's awesome. Everybody repeat this. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Wash me clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody else, look up here. Listen, we're going to worship. Some of you are going to come down. I'm encouraging you, take a step. I don't care if you've known the Lord forever or this is your first day. Take a step. You might be bowing. You might be raising your hands. You might be putting something on the cross. You might be taking communion. You might be coming to the altar and just weeping. I don't know what it is. But I'm encouraging you, don't just stand there and worship, but express your worship. Does that make sense? Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Lord, I just pray for each person in this place. Help us to fall in love with you. I pray that every single person in this church, that they begin to own your zone. Lord, I felt this strongly as I came in this morning. Let revival start in every zone in this room. Lord, let something spark anew. Let the hearts be aflame in every zone in this room as we volunteer, as we give, as we pursue the things of you. Lord, help us to use. You have entrusted us with our space, our sphere of influence. Lord, it's our work of worship to give that back to you. We give our zone to you. In Jesus, let's worship you this morning.